Well, it's good to be able to share with you this morning. And I bring you, of course, greetings. I spoke to Paul and Renee yesterday yet to make sure that they're doing all right. And it's kind of my job as regional pastor to keep an eye on these pastors of this area. So, and I'm retired and old enough that I get to do that. So it is a privilege to be able to open God's Word with you. And I'm of the age that once in a while when my eyes don't quite work, I have to stick on some glasses. But as we open God's Word, would you join me in prayer? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Triune God, we sing of your greatness. We use the words of the psalmist, but we want to use our own words simply to say, thank you, God. And open our eyes, our hearts, that our lives may be touched by what you have to say, not what I have to say, but what you have to say to us as your people. To that end, open our hearts, our minds, and make our lives lives of response. We ask it in the name of him who did what we couldn't, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I would like to turn with you to in the scriptures to Romans, the 8th chapter. A very familiar chapter, probably. It begins with verse 1 already, and we're not going to read the whole chapter. Don't get too panicky. Therefore there is now, and that word is important, of course, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's how the chapter begins. And then we're going to pick it up at verse 28. And we know, powerful word again there, huh? And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and also interceding for us. What then shall separate us, or who then shall separate us from the love of God, of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, not any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. The Word of God. Powerful stuff, isn't it? Followers of Jesus Christ. About a year ago, my grandson called me, and after we had had some conversations, he said, yeah, Savannah and I have chosen our wedding text. And those of you who are familiar with, our traditional weddings, we often choose a wedding text. That's your theme for your life, and you get to choose it for yourself. You know, don't have the preacher choose it for you. I'm not all sure, because I wondered about that, because my parents' pastor chose the one about cast all your cares from Peter. And I thought, I'm not sure. But over the years, I think it probably rang more true than I realized. And my wife and I got to choose ours, but I said to Joey, our grandson, I said, you and Savannah have to choose the text. And so I was not at all surprised when he chose one from Romans 8. Powerful stuff. You know, those of you who are old enough to remember, you know, Andrew Covenhoven was for many years the editor of the Banner. You know, he spoke of this really as a chapter of this chapter like we read just part of now in Romans 8 is like a gold mine. And you can dig into it, and there's more, there's a mother lode, you might say, in Romans 8 that you can learn from. And that's what we see here. We can dig deeper and deeper. As I said, it's rich. It's just so rich with so many applicable verses that you could say, wow, this by itself could be my wedding text. This by itself could be my life theme. As you're not thinking weddings, then you might even say my life theme, my life verse or whatever. But at the same time, as I share with you this morning, when we live where we live today, we realize life's reality is this. We don't know what lies ahead. We don't. Scripture does not tell us how the Dow is going to do, for those of us who may or may not be interested. You know, my computer shows it every time, and I think it's a pain, you know. I don't have a bunch of investments or anything, but to me it just, some people I know go up and down with it a little bit. And maybe rightly so. I'm not going to get into make any judgment on that. But no text, you can dig the scriptures all you want, and there's no text that's going to tell us when this Ukraine disaster, this war is going to end. Certainly, Romans does not explain, you know, the outcome of all of these presidential primaries, unless it would just say, well, they'll be done next month and we will all rejoice, you know. Digging into the scriptures will not reveal as to when the trumpet will sound announcing Christ's return. That's just, we deal with that. And yet, you and I make plans. We don't know quite what life said. That's what I'm saying. I'm back to all of this. Life's reality is this, that we do not know everything that lies ahead. But we plan ahead. Marriages and moving, all those kinds of things. Maybe some of you are even thinking of that. Marriage ahead. Or if you're at my age, it's more the thing of which grandchild is going to get married next, right? That sort of thing. And so we plan on that, or maybe move. I have another grandson who's not sure where he's going to live. He's not sure about his future that way, you know. Anniversaries are being celebrated. My wife and I later this month are heading out west to celebrate her sister's 50th wedding anniversary, you know, that sort of thing. Trips are being taken. Babies are being born. Surgeries taking place and have taken and will take place. And we know, too, that death will claim some of those dear to us. If not, we'll read them in the headlines. Changes are taking place. We make them and we experience them. But the question, and I just want to pose to you just for a little bit this morning, is how do we face them? How? How do we face these changes? How do we face all the things that appear to be in our future should we live? And should God not sound the trumpet and say, hey, we're done with it all, you know? Do we do so with fear, with apprehension, or with a confident anticipation? And that's, as you might know ahead of time, that's where I want to go with you, that we can do so with some confident anticipation. I want to encourage you to do so, to look ahead with confidence, based on God's word, and two in the verses that we just read. As we read that Romans 8, for I hear Paul speaking. He's written to the church in Rome. He's going to go there and he wants to lay out what he's going to be sharing with them. But he says, I am convinced, strong language. He writes with confidence. We have confident language there. And you hear it so clearly. The very chapter begins, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So it's that sense of, okay, you're in a good spot and you can go forward confidently. And so it repeats, it's confident language that repeats the truth of God's love and the empowering of His Spirit so that you and I can look forward as God's children. We can look forward to His continuing care. The Catechism puts it a little differently. We can do so because He is willing to do so as our Father, and He is able to do so, as we just sang in those verses, He is able to do so because He is God. He's willing and able. Put those two together. Confident assurance, God is for us. And that's what Paul writes that here in Romans. If God then is for us, who can stand against us? If God is for us. Do you see that there in verse 31? He stands with us. Kind of almost like the lawyer when they stand up, and you're going to see a lot of that if you watch any television at all. You know, when a very famous person, names not to be mentioned, will end up standing up in court with charges coming his way. His attorney stands up beside him. That's standard. And now here we hear Paul writing and saying, God stands with us. He's with us. He's there for us. And that's an assurance that I shared with the newlyweds, to Joey and Savannah. I said, God will stand with you. They're uncertain of some plans. They're thinking of doing some missionary work and this and that. But I said, God will stand with you. That's the verse you claimed. Hold on to that. Write it somewhere, at least. Make in the tradition I'm from, you make sure you have a plaque that says it and hang it in a prominent part in your house so you're reminded of it. You know, my wife and I happen to choose, you know, Matthew 6:33. And we have a plaque of that. That's we see that every morning. And so it reminds us of that. But what we have here in this scripture, in this passage, is a hopefulness based on God's word. For Paul writes, for I am convinced. What we see there is, and that's why I've entitled my message, I didn't use all the words in the message, but it's a concrete, confident confession. You might think of it as the three C's, if you were to remember it. A concrete, confident confession. Knowing that we're in God's hands, that you and I can confess it, convinced by God's word and His Spirit, that we can live confidently in this world. Come cancer or a mass on your brain, you know about that. Whether it's that, whatever it is, you can be convinced by God's word. Whether cancer, business failure, or whatever it is, you can say, I am sure, I am confident that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And we need that kind of confidence as we go ahead. An old hymn put it, some of you might even be able to sing it, I know not what good or ill may be reserved for me, or weary ways or golden days before His face I see. And you know that. We experience that too. But I can know. I may not know this, I may not know that, but I can know God's love for me. And that nothing cancels out His love. For that is mine and yours in Christ Jesus. I may lose my life. I may lose my wife. I may lose my job, my portfolio if you have one, your car, you may be rather attached to it, your house. You may lose it all, but nothing. You will not lose God's love. And so we hear it. Neither death nor life, whatever life brings, we don't know. You and I don't know when we will take our last breath and be separated from our loved ones. We've all experienced it. Some of us may be sitting here rather mournful yet, thinking about that. But death does not separate us from the love of God. Often our experiencing with death, and I've heard this testimony again and again, will bring us closer to God. My wife and I just went through that earlier this year when we were together with my favorite brother-in-law, more like a brother to me, her younger brother. We're on a trip together, and he experienced a heart attack and died while we're on the trip. And so we held on to the fact that, okay, God is holding us. And through it all, we did find ourselves closer to each other, but also to God. So whatever happens does not cancel out God's love. And so with that kind of confidence, we can live confidently and even expectantly, knowing or not knowing what lies ahead. As I say all this, though, we have to be aware. We do have to be aware that there are forces, powers, and demons that are trying to separate us from God's love. That are trying to rattle us, you might say. That there are powerful forces trying to destroy our relationships and also our relationship with God. You know, our relationships go vertical and horizontal. And those two are intertwined. You know that if you stop to think about them at all, you know how intertwined those are. But we need to be aware and be alert to the opposition that is there in our world. It's there that will try to destroy those our relationship with God and also those with one another. There are obstacles to walking by faith. We need to recognize that there are forces at work that seem to want to destroy that which is good. And so we need to be careful, and we need to be open and very bold, too, about being able to denounce those who do that, the leaders and organizations who try to distort things or to manipulate faith or truth. As those who know the truth of God's Word, we've got to be proponents of the truth that God's Word gives us, and it telling it to others also. We've got to learn to call lies and falsehoods for what they are. Distortions of the truth often is what those seem to go best when you distort the truth just a little bit and acknowledge that they are the works of the evil one. And too many people have been led astray from the Jesus who says, I am the way. And then notice he doesn't just say I'm the way to go, but I am the truth and the life, you see. And so following Jesus with all the promises that we hear in God's Word here, also here in Romans 8 here, following Jesus means wise discernment, wise judgment in terms of whom we believe and what we believe. And so let's make sure that we live it and proclaim it. God's love is greater, and we will not be separated from it. It's greater than that the powerful drive of sex or ambition or money or whatever lures us away. Notice I use that verb deliberately. Lures us away, you see, as it is inclined to do. We cannot be separated from the love that is in Christ Jesus. Angels can't do it. Demons can't do it. And distortions of what it means to follow Jesus abound around. So make sure you are committed to the Jesus that the Scriptures reveal. The Scriptures teach us. Make sure you're following him, not some kind of political nationalism that is so rampant today that we want to be careful. That's a distortion of what the Scriptures teach us. Let's face whatever we need to face and identify it, knowing that it cannot separate us from the love of God. Nothing can do so. Be careful and make sure you see and set aside and know it for what it is, knowing that God is holding you fast during it all. Now, someone may ask you, are you sure? We all ask that sometimes, right? Are you sure this is a good deal? Are you sure? Are you really that confident about the love of God? Really? You mean it? Nothing will separate you from the love of God? When you say yes, realizing though, and it's an ongoing kind of thing, realizing that God moves in mysterious ways to fulfill His will. He doesn't always do it the way we think He could or even should. He does it differently. There may be times, and I want to, because I hope I'm not some kind of Pollyanna preacher here for you this morning. There may be times when you'll wonder, God, did you really have this in mind? Is this really what you want for me? Does this ever so painful valley, this brokenness, does it make any sense at all? For it doesn't to me, God, it doesn't. There may be days or weeks or maybe even months or longer when it seems that God has abandoned you. People tell me, share that. And there have been times too when I too have asked, God, really? Does it make sense for my mother to die so young? I'm not even married yet. God, really? There may be times when God is doing something that may have you crying, shouting as Jesus did, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that's okay to do so. As long as we keep in touch with Him, there may be times to hold on to that nothing. Nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. We hold on because God's Word says hold on. Knowing means trusting. We all hold on when the going gets tough. And that doesn't just become a saying like you may have heard, when the going is tough, the tough get going. No, when the going gets tough, the tough know what God's Word tells us. We obey, and then we do what we need to be doing, who we are, being who we are. Walking with God through it all still means through it all doing His will as best we know it. Realizing, then again, we don't know what lies ahead, but we know that God is going with us and that His Spirit will convict us and continue to convict us that we are His beloved, that He loves us. I need that confidence. And I think I'm aware of people's journeys well enough to know that you do too, that others do too. That assurance, it's what we confess in the confessions of this church when we say, my only comfort, you know those words. My only comfort is that I belong in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. It's what we celebrate this morning when we come to the table and you come forward and you take that little bit of bread or that little wafer and you drink a little bit of that juice or wine, whatever it is you use. Let it remind you, as real as those elements are, that God's love for you is real. I'm sure of His love. We may not know what lies ahead, but we'll handle it with God's help. Similar to the promises in marriage, for better or for worse, whatever else, for joy or tears, of sorrow, sickness, health, whatever, we have that comfort in life and in death that we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That we have that comfort because God is still whom He says He is and will be. we may try to box them in sometime. You know, there are times when I think we do that. We have a tendency to say, well, God can only do this, God, you know, and then we forget, you know. We want to limit his love to those people whom we think are worthy, and of course we're worthy, and we better be very careful about that. For John 3:16 is still the same. For God so loved the world that he gave, you see. So I want to suggest to you and challenge you as people here at Discovery that God says to you and to me, live boldly. Live boldly. Do so with confidence. Do so confidently, knowing that God loves you. You belong. You are his. However you want to put that, there's a life-defining assurance that we need. It's what we celebrate at the table. That we belong, that we're his, you see. God knows what's ahead. See, I'm back to where I started. I don't, you don't. And as a loving, all-powerful Father, God, he is there with us and for us. So confess. Confess with Paul. Nothing, absolutely nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing, no one, ever. Live confidently, being loved and loving others. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Triune God, thank you for your word, for the assurance, for the reminder, for the truth that we could hear again this morning. Thank you. We come as your children, wanting very much to live confidently, expectantly, knowing we are loved, and therefore also love others as we have been loved. We ask in the name of him who came and loved and paid the price, Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.